that where it comes to working on a message, we really want to make sure that people understand the importance of compliance is there, but don't let it get in the way. Don't let it impact on the wonderful stories that you want to share.
Yeah, they've got to be your frenemy.
Yeah, frenemy. We'll get that. Maybe we should get t-shirts or coasters with that on. Frenemy. Yes.
Hello and welcome to Land and Deliver, our first episode, Louise.
Exciting.
It is where Louise here helps you land your message with clarity.
And Darren helps you to deliver it so people will listen, care and act. It's lovely to have your company and we're excited to have a little chat, aren't we, about this topic?
I'm really looking forward to it. Bearing in mind we are at the beginning of 2026.
Indeed, yeah. And we've known each other for a long time, Darren, in terms of our media industry expertise, where we've crossed paths in many different ways with video, audio, presenting behind the scenes. So it's lovely to be here and we're really keen to make sure that we can help share with you the benefit of our experience and knowledge.
So Lou, PTSD time.
Uh-oh, go on.
Now, I want to kind of just recap on something that happened last year that I think is really, really unresolved for a lot of us, not in the political sense, but especially for compliance-based industries. And I'm talking about the Donald Trump edit from Panorama.
Yes. Okay.
Because you know, politically, it was a massive headache for the BBC. But I think something that we can talk about is, yes, it is a massive headache and, you know, it is what it is. But I don't know about you. You've worked in compliance-based comms. I've worked in compliance-based
comms. Indeed, yes, yes.
And it's that absolute nightmare scenario they always envisage happening. And it just makes an absolute nightmare for creatives. So let's just kind of quickly go through the incident again, if we can't remember what happened, because we've blocked it out of our memory.
Indeed, yes, this is the thing. And I think you're right. It's certainly had some raised some wider questions and question marks around how we communicate the messages and stories that we share, and also when it's not okay to bend the rules. So yes, basically, as you may recall, with the BBC Panorama documentary, there's a speech of Mr. Donald Trump, leader of the United States of America, giving his speech. And the BBC took said speech and basically moulded and edited it to sound and inflame the situation more. Now, it's a really historical speech because I believe it's the Capitol Hill one. So when he was there actually speaking about power and being in and out of power. And what they basically did is took it and edited it in a way that made him look more aggressive, or maybe in his words, look more confrontational in terms of what he wanted to do for politics.
What's really annoying for me as someone who's edited video for a long time.
A long time.
A long time. is that it kind of violates that first rule of editing in that you don't change the meaning of what's being said. Mm. You know, there are instances where, you know, you and I may have interviewed people on camera and they've trying to get the message out over a couple of takes because they're not very professional. And so, you know, you make that up, you make that together, but essentially it's what they want to say.
Yeah.
But with Donald Trump, it was, you know, two phrases really said something like 40 minutes apart and changed, although, you know, in that moment, it changed the meaning of what he was saying and making it an implicit call to arms rather than just adding 5 or 6 seconds to kind of place it in different parts of the speech.
And I think at the time that this blew up in the media and in the news, it's fair to say, and you'll know this, Darren, as someone who edits videos, there's certain style devices you can use to show that time has lapsed between comments, be it a flash or, well, I say flash, there's probably a better word for it, let's be honest. But, you know, there's certain style devices you can use to show that time has lapsed between two comments, and they didn't do that. No. They made it seem like one seamless piece of content. And I think the other thing where compliance comes in is they made it seem this was something that was picked up a while ago, but it was kind of hushed, where they didn't want it to get out as a story and a message. So when we heard this as the public, at first I thought, oh, this has just been picked up. They've just heard that this was wrong. No. The BBC knew it had been wrong for a long time and actually kept that away from the public to try and work it out. And it didn't. A memo got leaked and then we all heard what happened.
But that's really interesting because what happened was because they lost control of the message because of essentially someone edited it wrong and no one picked it up. And, you know, when we think about when we're making messaging for compliance-based industries, now, you know, as someone who worked at the BBC, you know, it's compliance hell. It's a real, real nightmare to get that done. And so, you know, and you got these narratives about BBC bias and all the rest of it. But those of us who are in the industry and making messaging understand that it's, you know, someone made a stupid mistake and it wasn't picked up. But, you know, they had compliance for it, didn't they?
Yeah, this is the thing. When I worked at the BBC in radio and a bit in TV, definitely there are, lots of paperwork, lots of forms that when you're pre-recording and making a programme, just like Panorama would have, you fill out this form that basically says, are there any issues in there that are contentious? So, for example, political views or something that may be perceived as derogatory by some of the audience. And as soon as there is something like that, you work with your editor to work out, okay, what is it? Do we have to put a disclaimer up? Do we have to warn people that it's flashing images and photography, for example, or that, you know, there's certain words used that may cause offence? So you're already starting to build, as you're starting to work on a programme, you've got your storyboard of what you filmed, you've got your script, you know what you filmed, you're then sat in the edit with your editing person and you're working through that form. As you go through, you think, hang on a minute, according to our editorial policy, we have to make sure that we flag that, you know, we might need subtitles for this, or that we have to warn people flash photography is being used, and or some wording here is may cause offence. So already in that early stage of the edit, you're already starting to fill out that form then. Your editor, who's with you editing it, but then your editing director is also spending time with you as well. And so this isn't something that comes about overnight. Editing takes so long, as you know, and there's lots of paperwork and opportunities for you to flag, hang on a minute, something isn't right here. Or we may want to include something in the edit, but does it fit? And you start to build up that paperwork and that form. And it is long-winded for compliance, but it's there for good reason. And then once you've made the programme, it does go through various layers of who watches it and who signs it off. So this isn't just, oh, we've edited it, let's broadcast it out and it's done. There are parameters and procedures in place for a reason. And I know when I worked at the BBC, I went through that procedure. And I think if I look through my garage, I've probably got some old forms somewhere that he shows it. Yeah.
But that's really funny, isn't it? Because, I mean, you know, companies that have, you know, heavily complianced, it's a nightmare. Compliance has gone wrong. And so they want to, if you're trying to make, you know, a really interesting story for like pharmaceutical or finance, you know, there's that struggle that goes on where compliance goes wrong. And I remember a story, a BBC story. I don't think I've shared this with you, actually. a very famous BBC radio DJ.
All right.
Was once working for a very big BBC radio station.
I notice you're choosing your words carefully here.
yes. Well, at the time, I was working for a company you might have heard of, especially if you're in London, called Capital Radio. But what was really interesting is that particular famous radio DJ was having a public spat with another famous personality who was around at the time. And so Capital Radio owned a couple of radio stations over the country. And what would happen is that you'd be amazed at the number of people that send in demos to work for them. Loads and loads of demos. And even when I was there in the early 2000s, you know, loads of tapes were still being sent in. And one tape was sent in by this personality who wanted to work for the company on a certain one of their radio stations. So I happened to mention to this DJ that I had a tape of this person. He said, oh, I can give you X amount of money, I'll have that tape, and I can take the mickey out of it on my radio show.
Ooh, right? Rivals, right? Okay, rivals, yeah.
So I'm going, hang on a minute, haven't you got to go through, like, compliance or some sort of legal thing? He says, yes, I do. If I have to go through, followed by a paperclip, it's 15 forms, but for your tape,
Here's
an envelope of cash.
Yeah.
And obviously, just to be really, really sick, I didn't give him the tape, by the way.
Because you're moral and you have morals, yes.
It wasn't enough money. no, I didn't give it to him, just to know. But even in the BBC, where it's really heavily complianced, there are little loopholes, and compliance people can really, you know, freak out about that, because let's just say I did give him the tape and he just went ahead and did it. There's all that legal compliance that he's just sidestepped
completely, yeah,
and it could have been a libel issue, for example.
And I think the reason why we're talking about this as well is because we know, as people who work in the creative media industries, how important it is to get a message across well and to make it really be delivered with clarity and with impact for people to act. But sometimes there's so much caution and fear, because whether you're in the legal industry, housing, whether you're in local government that I've worked in as well, you're in the healthcare industry, you know full well that there's lots of great things you want to promote and advertise and talk about. But with that comes the caution of, oh, we've got to say this, got to include that disclaimer. And next thing you know, I just think of those adverts, like when you're driving and you hear what the kind of disclaimer of, depending on this order, do this, do that, a disclaimer, go to the website, don't do this, don't do that. And they say it really quickly to include it.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we're saying as comms professionals and experts that where it comes to working on a message, we really want to make sure that people understand the importance of compliance. It's there, but don't let it get in the way. Don't let it impact on the wonderful stories that you want to share.
I remember when I worked writing adverts for pharmacy. Mm-hmm. We had this request from them to say, the adverts you're writing are very, very nice, thank you very much. They're a little bit dull and bland.
Yeah. Right?
So can you write us more exciting adverts?
Yeah.
And, you know, when you wrote a script, you had to go through their compliance process. Yep. And what would happen was that you'd write the excited scripts and it would go to the people that had you know, commissioned the scripts from you. Mm. And they go, that's fine. And then it would go to their head of department. That's fine. And then it would come through legal and like all the life had been drained out of it. You know, active ingredients can help to do, which, you know, is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But you then, you know, I just remember sitting with my team and a month later thinking, you know, you've got all this wonderful creative that we'd sat down doing. And then by the time it's come through compliance and 15 tracked changes.
Yeah, it's true. I worked with a high street beauty brand for 6.5-7 years. It was the same. And because a lot of the time you're talking about healthcare or beauty products that have, you know, you want to say it's going to make you look younger, but you can't say that. It's going to make, you know, it's going to help you lose weight. You can't say that. And you're like, oh, okay, so what can we say? And yeah, you're right. And you here you have kind of two extreme kind of sides of it. You have the element of actually want to be creative, but oh no, we have to be careful. So what can we do about it? What can we do to solve this situation and make lives easier based on what we know and how we can work with people and help them? So basically you end up with messages that are technically perfect but emotionally invisible and also not that creative. We can do better, right?
We can. We kind of come up with this idea for you to help just understand the environment you're in. You know, you need to have compliance in there. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got to be your frenemy.
Yeah, frenemy. We'll get that. Maybe we should get t-shirts or coasters with that on. Frenemy. Yes.
Yeah. Compliance, be my frenemy, please. So we found this way, which we can, you know, when we're approaching this right from the start, that just gets everything easier and less friction and less fear and those few urgent reword emails at 4:55 where... I know,
when you're right up until the deadline.
Yeah, you're up to the deadline. So we've boiled it down to this kind of process that we've learnt really the hard way.
Yeah. The hard way, Darren. We've been for it, we know.
So to grow those creative ideas responsibly, we've come up with ECO.
Yes.
ECO.
Okay.
So what's the E?
The E is early. We think it's really important to not just leave these things to chance at the last minute. Get in there early and start thinking about some of the ways, I suppose, the disclaimers, some of the things that you're going to want to include in terms of compliance and what that means, to make sure it's not an afterthought. And also to make sure that if there's anyone you need to consider, like a legal team, they're in there from the beginning rather than, oh, great, we've done this. We're just about to film and record. Should we ask legal? Okay, should have had that conversation earlier, please.
Just a bit.
Just to make sure everything is considered. So, yeah, E is for early.
Because, I mean, I know if you ever watched the programme Have I Got News For You, they have someone up in the TV gallery from legal literally listening to everything that's being said and scoring them so that something's going to be libelous or not wrong or not factual, then they're there ready and waiting. So then you're not recording it. You've downed the studio and that's then they come back at you.
And I think the thing also we should point out here, a lot of media content seems like it's seamlessly just been created off the hoof. Anything that is worthwhile and impactful is planned. Mm. And there's nothing wrong with planning. Planning's brilliant because when you plan, you know what's coming up, you know what you're going to cover, and that allows you to be early and to kind of prevent any of these legalities from getting in the way. So people are often astounded when I work with them. Oh, so this is planned. Yeah. I didn't just open a microphone and start talking. We've had to work through what we're going to record and film, because in order to do that, you get the best. It's easier to edit, but also you're having these considerations earlier. And I know sometimes we're in a society where we're time poor, where you think, actually, I haven't got time for this, just quickly do it. But spending that valuable time to plan means that the E for eco and early means you can have those considerations and consider them, rather than them being an afterthought.
Yeah, and I think also, it may sound counterintuitive, but I genuinely think, you know, your compliance should be your friend. Mm. I'm always on the lookout for ideas. And actually having someone from compliance in the creative meeting, it may sound like a downer. They're going to come over and say, oh, you shouldn't have that in there, and have that, whatever. But also, I think being curious, not furious, if they suddenly tell you what you can't do,
yeah,
and saying to them, okay, well, why can't we put that in there? Yeah. And then they will say, could be a spark for an idea.
It's true.
To go, actually, we'll do it this way.
Yeah, you're right. They help you to kind of circumvent it and problem solve, rather than you having to send an email and start a whole email chain. That person's there, you're right, in the room at the time, say, right, guys, can't do that. You say, okay, so what can we do? And they can help you solve it there and then. And then you're like, great. Move on to the next, we're sorted, rather than, oh, I don't know, oh, did we do that? Oh, I'm not sure. Oh, did we ask that person? Oh, well, let's email her. That's where you're wasting time.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't be doing that. So yeah, E is for early. I feel like I'm on Sesame Street now. The E is for early. C is for clear. We want things that are clear, Darren.
We do. I think it's just really understanding when you've got that that feedback in the moment from compliance. So let's say they're in the room with you and say, okay, you know, you want to say this thing, but legally we have to, in finance, say your house is at risk or say this, that and the other. It's always really good to have a really clear hold on that message, always all through. So when legal are coming through to you and saying, we need to add this or take this away or whatever, just have in your head, okay, what's the impact on the message? And, you know, is that getting in the way of the message? Now, obviously, you can't then go, you know, stick a metaphorical sign up at your compliance people, but then that informs your conversation as to, okay, how can we not quite have our cake and eat it so we're both happy, but then say to the compliance, for example, by saying that it's going to muddy the message, is there another way of doing it? Yeah. Can we, you know, can we perhaps address that compliance issue and thinking creatively around another way of solving it, maybe?
I think so. And I think when we talk about being clear as part of this eco model, it's the words you choose to use as well. There's that phrase, isn't it? Diamond English, that's very clear, no jargon. And in the world of comms and marketing, when I'm making and creating campaigns, without being patronising, you're talking like you're talking to an 8 or 9 year old. That's how simple you have to make it sometimes. Because if you think about how these messages are being consumed, we live in a world where we're so distracted. We are consuming messages while we're on the train, on a bus, while we're walking the dog, while we're cooking, while we're at our desks, and there's loads of stuff going on around us. So if you think that we are trying to vie for people's attention and grab them, when this complete message is created, it needs to be clear, needs to be memorable, and it needs to give people the opportunity to act. So the words that you use as well need to be no jargon, no, you know, it needs to be really explicitly clear that people remember. I mean, going back to Trump, I watched a documentary on him that basically was analysing why he's so successful with his political messages. And he said it, this documentary, he said it's because he speaks like a child. Yeah, Make America great again. There's no way you can misunderstand that. His phrasing, his sentences are short. The words you make active, America, right? Great again. You know, even when he talks, even in front of the biggest dignitaries of the world, he's like, oh yeah, you know, he's never talking in long sentences, in phrasing and words that are overcomplicated, where you need a thesaurus. And I think that's the thing. When we talk about clear and clarity, it's just, we can be in industries where we're so used to industry words and speak, but we need to make it clear to the man or the woman on the street. And that's where I think the seeing clear comes from. You know, step away and think, would this make sense to someone if I spoke it to them in a supermarket, in a lift, on the street? Because if it doesn't, you're losing people. you're losing people. So the clear really has to be with the chosen words that you go with.
And I think, I don't know about you, but when I talk about the work I do with it's in video broadcasting, no one in my family really cares. Right? So actually they make the best people to experiment your messaging
100%.
With. 100%. Because, and this is the thing, isn't it? You know, if you experiment with someone
who doesn't know it. They don't know it.
Sometimes, even when my kids were 7 or 8, they're a bit older now, but you know, I would seriously test something I'd written and just see how well they understood it or didn't.
Exactly.
And just by testing on someone who's a bit removed from you,
you
know, would your mum know what you were talking about
instantly?
And if they don't, then it's a great benchmark, isn't
and
it?
I think in terms of this process, I know when I've worked on programming and campaigns before, you're so close to it. So it's great to step away from it and give it to a trusted colleague who's probably in your team but a few steps removed and say to them, right, what do you think? Does it make sense? Because they will probably spot a gap that you hadn't even thought of. But actually, at that stage, you're better off that it's spotted then rather than when it's out in public externally.
I remember showing someone something and they completely misunderstood it. And it was like the opposite.
Yeah.
And that's the risk. I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
And you know, just by, you know, sense checking with anybody, everything you do.
Yes.
It's, and some people kind of as a bit of a bias and kind of think, oh, that's cheating. But seriously.
It saves you troubles in the long term.
Yeah.
Until, you know, if you do it internally, you can make those mistakes there. And then it's just an internal conversation rather than, oh, we've got to get the legal team in because it's external.
And remember, yeah, if you do a print run and you haven't checked your message, it's legally compliant, but you haven't checked your message and then somebody else comes and looks at it and goes, oh, I thought it was that way around.
You're like, whoops.
Like, oh, you know, whatever.
So we've got our E, which is for early. We've got C for clear. And the O is for?
Only what's needed.
Okay. So this is where we get down to not casting our net so wide that it then becomes confusing. Only what's needed is really sticking to the core of the message that we want to deliver.
So yeah, when you're in that compliance meeting and they're telling you what you have to do, what you don't have to do. If you're talking finance, for example, you've got to put all these million and one caveats in. Well, if you've got your message really loud and clear, then it gives you a really good benchmark to go, do we need everything in there? Can we actually say what we want to say in a kind of a feeling way? So you're not being specific, but your overall message is actually something more conceptual. Then you can say that and it might not need so much legal compliance. The more specific you are sometimes, the more legal compliance you need. And perhaps even from a message point of view, you don't need that.
True. I think what we're seeing more and more as well, especially in the finance world, like you say, Darren, is when a bank, for example, wants to make a message or share a message, they'll tell you that message in a feeling way, like you said, and then they will signpost you to where you can then go and find out more of the T's and C's, more of the details, because they haven't got time to put it all out there. And let's be honest, in the world of marketing and messaging, is that what you need first of all? No, you want to grab people, give them that call to action, and if they want to qualify it or find out the sources or really try and understand if this message is true, well, if you've been able to include that in a booklet, a brochure, presentation, or a website, you can then explain behind the scenes of what that message means. But it's not the first thing you always have to lead with, because sometimes when you try and cram too much in, you lose the simplicity, you lose the feeling, people don't know what to do next. And then you're thinking, well, what was it worth? So actually, don't be afraid to scale it back. Less is more.
I always say, if you tell them everything, they remember nothing.
Yeah. You're like, what do you want me to do next? What?
Because there's so much pressure from compliance to get everything in, to tick those tick boxes, that if you remember the O, you know, only what's needed.
It's true.
Then you can make sure that message is clear and just keep scaling it back.
I think of the beauty adverts. If you see on TV nowadays, I don't know, it's a hair dye advert, and they'll say, you know, this hair dye covers 60% more greys than our competitors. Pause the advert and look at what they've done at the bottom of the advert. They've put some writing and then it tells you, you know, based on 60 customers who use the hair dye. But, you know, they're not going to go into 60 customers use the hair dye. They did it like this. They don't tell you all that, because as a business, they want to tell me as a customer. And I don't dye my hair, by the way, in case you're wondering. But they're trying to.
I wasn't going to ask. Like, it's more than my life's worth.
But they're trying to tell me as a customer that, you know, I can cover more grey than a leading competitor. Now, as the customer, if I'm thinking, is this true? I can then pause the advert, see how they did the survey, But they've already got me with the message. They've already got me. They've already got me buying the product. And if I want to check it, I can. But from a compliance, they've done their compliance. They have on the advert qualified it, explained how they did the survey and research, but they haven't blighted the message so much that I forget. And guess what I'm going to go and buy? That hair dye, because I now know what the message is. But I also know that the compliance has been done. And regulatory-wise, that TV advert is there because it has ticked the boxes.
But also, I think from a product point of view, if we're talking about hair dye, for example, then actually the message is actually not about that at all. It's about lifestyle, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you want to go out with lovely hair, look great, and the compliance, the chemicals, whatever, is neither here nor there to you.
Yeah, but it's in there.
Yeah, but you've got to do it from a legal perspective. Yeah. So when you're writing the message, you know, just think about, do you have to talk about the chemicals or the stats and just go, you're going to feel a great human being.
Great. So eco, we now know that it's all about being early
and clear
and using only what's needed. So you can come back and watch this episode again if you need to pick up on these points or share it with someone who you think really needs this guidance.
So that's how we can get those messages across in that regulated environment. So we're still clear and we're still creative. And we might actually have a message that lands with a human being and gets to do something they wanted to do, really.
Absolutely. So we hope that's been useful. And be lovely if you want to share this episode with others who you think will find it useful.
So thanks for listening to our first episode of Land and Deliver. Now, if you want to catch up on anything we've talked about in this episode, then you can go to our website and look at the show notes. And also you can catch up with us and sign up to the podcast so you can get those show notes that include the eco model that you can print out and keep by and also hear about future episodes. Just to go to our website at landanddeliver.co.uk.
Until next time, see you soon.
Take care.